need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was young, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a gentle mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me?
Welcome to The Raw Deal. This is Jim Fetzer, your host right here on Revolution Radio Studio B, this 13th day of September, 2024. My co-host, John Garman, hopefully will be able to rejoin me, and we are going to feature Paul Hilf as a commentator today, joining at the bottom of the hour. We have multiple very serious reports. Putin supporting long-range strikes on Russian territory would put NATO at war with Russia, from antiwar.com. Russian President Vladimir Putin Thursday strongly suggested the U.S. against allowing Ukraine to use NATO missiles and long-range strikes inside Russian territory, saying the move would put the Russian military alliance at war with Russia. His comments came after Politico reported the White House was finalizing plan to expand the areas within Russia where Ukraine can use U.S. and British-provided missiles. We also have a video of Putin addressing his generals. Let's see what I can pull up here.
All right, so let's start this broadcast with some breaking news that's just come in from Russia, where the Russian President Vladimir Putin has issued one of the sternest warnings to the NATO military lines. Now, Putin has said that long-range arms for Kiev would mean that NATO nations have declared war against Russia. The direct warning has come as the United States is on set to lift the restrictions on Kiev on firing these long-range missiles inside of the Russian territory. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has been pleading with Kiev's allies for many months now to let Ukraine fire Western missiles, including the long-range U.S. attackers and the British Storm Shadow deep into the Russian territory to limit Moscow's ability to launch attacks. The decision could, of course, be taken on Friday when the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer will meet with the American President Joe Biden in Washington, D.C.
Very, very disturbing. Here's another report about it.
If you don't want to open your third eye, then don't watch this video.
Here we go.
Breaking news out of the Kremlin. There's been lots of information out that we've been talking a lot about. The United States is considering allowing Ukraine to use long-range weapons to fire throughout the depth of the Russian Federation. We've seen Anthony Blinken. We're going to see that here shortly. But Biden has said that they're, quote, working out, trying to give permission and what that may mean, et cetera. And as the United States and Ukraine are trying to figure out exactly what that would mean and what the limitations may be, Russia has been talking about that they view this in very, very stark terms. And now this is just coming out. This has just come out from the Kremlin. This is Vladimir Putin on Russian television. And he's going to say something in this clip that is very, very stark and alarming. And we better pay attention to this because this is new language that's also coming out of the Kremlin. Watch this.
Когда речь идет о использовании высокоточного оружия большой дальности западного производства, это совершенно другая история. Дело в том, что я уже об этом говорил, и любые эксперты это подтвердят, и у нас, и на Западе, наносить удары современными высокоточными системами большой дальности западного производства украинская армия не в состоянии. Она не может этого делать. Это возможно только с использованием...
Very serious stuff. Meanwhile, Ukraine ordered by U.S. neocons to provoke World War III before the election. Nine Russian regions, including Moscow, come under Ukrainian drone attack, officials say. This from the Epoch Times. We have a major problem with Ukraine. This is not about defending their territory or fake democracy when Zelensky has suspended any election to maintain his dictatorship as long as there is a raging war. Ukraine has invaded Russia, and last night, Zelensky launched scores of attack drones, even targeting Moscow. If China invaded the U.S. and landed in California and was 500 miles into the state and was launching missiles at Washington, D.C., would we do nothing? Putin is the only adult among world leaders, the only adult among world leaders who fully understand the ramification of what NATO and the American neocons are doing, trying to provoke a response where Putin attacks anything in NATO so they can pretend he is the aggressor to launch World War III. This was staged to influence the debate tonight on ABC, a neocon mouthpiece. Trump and RFK are anti-war, and when we say Kamala or ABC use question to resurrect that Trump is a Putin puppet because he's against World War III, as is RFK. If they use this attack tonight, you know it was a setup. The Democrats are flooding the email with requests for endless donations. I think this is important. We know what's going on here. Meanwhile, can you imagine China invading California and Washington doing nothing? This would be a call to impeach a president immediately. This is my concern. Despite all the propaganda by the Western press that is choreographed by the neocons, with many quoted as their source, the Institute for the War Study, where neocon Victoria Nuland's sister-in-law is in charge, Putin is not a warmonger. If he is overthrown, trust me, it will be by someone far less restrained. I think that's absolutely right. John, I'm glad you're able to join us. Your thoughts about these reports that Biden's going to allow long-range missile strikes inside Russia, and Putin has warned long-range missile strikes inside Russia would be regarded as a declaration of war by NATO and the U.S. against Russia. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I'm still maneuvering here. I had to reboot the computer. They're going to keep encroaching and encroaching. They're going to piss somebody off over there. But the main point is Putin's not stupid. You know, Putin knows how to get into that stuff and do it correctly. And if they keep pushing and pushing, those people are going to get wiped out. Real simple. They're like somebody made a comparison. It's like a bunch of people on alcohol. And then all of a sudden they realize what's going on, but I'm having issues with the computer. They're
John,
consistently hacking and trying to tear down my site, so I have to constantly maneuver.
Just do your best to hang in there, my friend. Just do your best.
Yeah, I'm doing. Go ahead.
Go ahead, John. As I've been reporting.
When they try to take out your
John's under attack. Yeah. You appear to be under attack.
I'm maneuvering this thing around. Yeah, they even came up with two Skypes. Didn't work.
As I've been reporting, the NBC situation appears to have been a setup. We actually have a former Clinton advisor arguing that there needs to be an investigation as to whether ABC rigged the debate. I like this. A former top advisor to Bill and Hillary says ABC News should hire an external law firm to conduct an internal investigation into whether the network was involved in rigging the outcome of the presidential debate. Of course it was. The woman in charge of ABC News is a close personal friend of Kamala Harris. She obviously had the questions in advance. Both of the moderators were all over Trump and gave Kamala a free ride. Six or seven fact checks to get Trump on the air where the fact checkers were wrong, and none against Kamala, even though she appears to have made at least 21 false, provably false claims. The demand was made by political strategist and pollster Mark Penn, who was a chief strategist for Hillary during her 2008 presidential campaign. Quote, I actually think they should do a full internal investigation, hire an outside law firm. I don't know how much of this was planned in advance, Penn told John Solomon Reports podcast. I don't know what they told the Harris campaign. I think the day after, suspicion here is really quite high. And I think a review of all their internal texts and emails really should be done by an independent party to find out to what extent they were planning on, in effect, you know, fact-checking just one candidate and, in effect, rigging the outcome of the debate. I think the situation demands nothing less than that. Very, very good. Here's a report going with it.
He said, the baby will be born, and we will decide what to do with the baby. In other words, we'll execute the baby.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs
that
came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
So I hear you bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there had been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed. And you repeatedly falsely claimed that you won, many times saying you won in a landslide.
Crime here is up and through the roof. Despite their fraudulent statements that they made, crime in this country is through the roof.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. But
they were defrauding statements. They didn't include the worst cities. They didn't include the cities with the worst crime.
Tim Walz and I are both gun owners. We're not taking anybody's guns away. So stop with the continuous lying about this stuff.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program. It's got to be smart. We got to do it the right way.
Do you believe in the mandatory buyback of quote-unquote assault weapons?
I do believe that we need to do buyback.
Let's remember Charlottesville, where there was a mob of people carrying tiki torches, spewing anti-Semitic hate. And what did the president then at the time say? There were fine people on each side.
And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group, excuse me, and you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? And the Supreme Court had great courage in doing it. And I give tremendous credit to those six justices.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born. Madam Vice President, I want to get your response to President Trump.
Under Governor Tim Walz, babies born alive and botched abortions are.
In Minnesota.
Let me go back on that.
Stand on defund.
Minnesota police. In Minnesota, she went.
Where do you stand on defund the police?
Right. So here's the thing. Defund the police. The issue behind it is that we need to reimagine how we are creating safety. And when you have many cities that have one third of their entire city budget focused on policing, we know that is not the smart way and the best way or the right way to achieve safety. If for too long, the status quo thinking has been you get more safety by putting more cops on the street. Well, that's wrong.
And then also, again, what we need to do about taking demilitarizing our schools. And taking police officers out of school.
On that point, Donald Trump, the candidate, has said in this election there will be a bloodbath if this and the outcome of this election is not to his liking.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. if you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars if I get elected. Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
Yeah. Look at how time after time. And of course, Trump mentioned West Virginia. It was actually the governor of Virginia, not West, who said about endorsed infanticide, finishing the job if a botched abortion yields a live birth. John, this is just disgraceful. And Kamala's such a liar, such a phony. She was wearing earrings that are actually mini microphones. That was nailed on the internet right after
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
What makes you think Biden doesn't have one that goes all the way in the ear that you can't see, and they don't zoom in on his ears when he's on a stage? But those have been in use for years. I think it even goes back to Reagan. As far back, you know, and that's in the 80s. So if they had a little thing there, they've got a guy that can prompt them, put them on point, give them their talking points while they're listening and talking on a debate or not, just to keep them on track, basically, you know, if they have talking points. So, yeah, that's just been used for years. I've seen the comparisons with the type of style that was used by Kamala Harris. It's very similar to, not the exact model, but it's still similar to it, if that's what it is. You know, and I've used an earpiece when I was Secret Service, like a lot of other people did in law enforcement, even back in early 1974. They had those for years at that level. So you can imagine technical security division at the Secret Service can give them whatever they need. And then that gets into other special information there. So, but yeah, it's the same thing.
You know, Kamala evaded the very first question she was asked, are we better off now than we were 4 years ago? But of course, everyone knows we're not. So how could she possibly answer the question?
She does.
It's a classic question any incumbent should be expected to be asked. It's an especially salient question now because, bullshit, many Americans are deeply unhappy with economic conditions and believe their own financial condition is deteriorating. Ronald Reagan used the question to devastating effect against incumbent President Jimmy Carter in the 1980 debate. Let me just say that while many think that Kamala got the best of this debate, actually Trump got a bounce of 4 points in his national standing on the economy, John. And the economy is the number one issue on the ballot, as James Carville said. It's the economy, stupid. Meaning, how could anyone have any doubt about it? Your thoughts?
Yeah, when you mentioned the Reagan-Carter thing, I'm reminded of the fact that, I don't know if you're aware of it, but somebody got a hold of the folder that had Jimmy Carter's talking points on the debate, and it got over to Reagan. So they knew exactly what he was going to talk about before they actually had the debate. That's a very sensitive issue right there, that somebody grabbed it and snatched it up. Intentionally or not, it still happened. But when they talk about these points and talking points, you know, did you say Carville? Carville? What's his
Carville.
Name?
Carville. Carville. James that guy. Carville. Yeah. It's the economy, stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't trust that guy anyway. But
no,
but,
of course not.
Yeah.
After the 2022, he actually implicitly acknowledged they had stolen 57 House seats from the Republicans in 2022, John.
There you have
57,
it.
57.
Well, that's what's worse about it, is the fact that they admit it and they talk about it afterwards. It's almost like satanic, where they got to tell you they're going to do it, and then they do it, and then they act like they're all powerful, and that's just not the case. You know, when are people going to get enraged about what's going on here? We're at war and people don't get it. And Trump's not safe. He's still not safe.
Oh, yes. I agree that they may attempt to take him out again. Here's during the 9/11 memorial, Biden actually put a 2024 Trump hat in it, in what they're calling a unity gesture. Get this. Rumors are swirling that Biden was quietly pushed out of the 2024 race by his own party while Biden officially announced a decision not to run for re-election. It was not on White House stationery. It had a forged signature, and it had none of this required insignia by the Federal Election Commission to be an official document. Insiders suggest it wasn't entirely voluntary. With sinking poll numbers and rising doubts about his ability to handle a second term, whispers have emerged the Democrat establishment nudged him toward the exit door. After all, Kamala has been waiting in the wings. Some believe the party felt she could energize a base in ways Biden could not. But imagine Joe, after decades in politics, climbing to the top, only to be pushed aside to make room for Harris. That's gotta sting. No secret, the relationship between the two has been strained, with Harris' team even leaking reports about tension between them. Now, with Biden stepping back, Harris taking the spotlight, it's not hard to picture him feeling a bit bitter about the whole situation. And what better way to let that bitterness show than by making a surprising, even shocking public gesture from Fox? A video of President Biden donning a Trump 2024 hat went viral across X, with several shocked the image was even real. A video of Biden at the station showed the president taking the Trump 2024 campaign hat from a Trump supporter and putting it on top of his own in what the White House said was a friendly gesture of unity. Okay, who had Biden wear a Trump 2024 hat on their bingo card? Said in wokeness tweeted. Meanwhile, it's been followed up by Biden entering Air Force One holding a MAGA hat in his hand. And here we have it. This is from Roger Stone tweeted. Joe Biden knows the message this is sending to the country. We can see him with a MAGA hat in his hand.
That's a large hat.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't have to do it. So they're trying to cover it up once, but they can't cover it up twice. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I was going along with that. I was going, yeah, that's all faked. And they do it intentionally. You know, they're trying to make this unity thing. We're all Americans and stuff like that. Well, yeah, we are, but we're having serious problems.
No. What Roger Stone is implying that Biden is supporting not Harris, but Trump by carrying the that thing. Look, they made up the story about the unity thing for the initial, but they can't make it up when it happens a second time. It seems to me they cannot cover it up. That it's
yeah,
a clear
thing. They're trying to run it through. Can I make one small point here about Kamala Harris that they've said before was that she didn't approach or talk to the media after the debate. Trump easily does. He's very comfortable. He's very much in control. He knows what he's talking about. He knows those subjects. And even the hot mic thing was a joke because they said they were going to leave cold mics back and forth. They left the mic hot. And of course, those other two people for ABC News were part of the debate. And that's not their position, period.
Yeah.
But she's not comfortable going public at any point in time where people can actually ask her questions unless they're pre-set up. Those are pre-set up news conferences where they give these people questions ahead of time to ask the question on people that are trusted by their party and things like that. They do the same thing, no different than at the White House, at the press corps, where, what was her name, Bella Abzug or one of these other famous people way back? They would ask the first question, and then the other person eventually would be appointed to ask the last question, which means the president's tired, he wants to leave, or he's finished, and then gets to a point where he does that. So there's a procedure so people understand. It's not free, like a free-for-all or casual. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. The situation, I think, in Ukraine is really serious. I think they do want a war to start before the election. What's your interpretation of the significance having it start before the election? So I can declare martial law, call off the election altogether, leave Biden-Harris in office?
Yes. Yes, all of that. If they could get him assassinated, and they're still going to try, and I've heard other sources from Secret Service as well, whistleblower types, and also the fact that if they have to start a war to prevent the election because they know they're going to lose, they will start a war. This is what they're all about. They don't care about the Americans. They'll start a war. They'll launch, or they'll give the equipment to Ukraine, to Vladimir Zelensky. And once they know they're going to launch or do something really bad, they'll leave that country. They'll get out because Putin will go after them. But Putin's not stupid. I mean, they have Russian subs off the shores of the United States and other key areas all over the world. So if they mess around, all they have to do is launch against us, too. So Biden, Harris, and all those idiots over there right now would be so stupid that they would be committing genocide against themselves and Americans in the country and all over the world.
Here's another part from antiwar.com. Russia said it could combine with China if both face threat from the U.S. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said Wednesday, Russia's partnership with China is not aimed at any third country, but the two countries could combine to respond to threats from the United States. We'll be right back, and Paul will be joining us.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in the dark.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives, future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Phone number 608.
Revolution Radio. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B from Cemetery Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we're waiting, Paul, to join us. Marianne Williamson predicts eating cats issue will hurt Democrats in the election, that Haitian voodoo is real. That's absolutely correct. The governor of Ohio is responding by sending police and funding to deal with migrant crime. I mean, I thought it was outrageous. I'd seen multiple reports about the problems in Springfield, including impassioned pleas from residents there that they were sleeping, squatting on their lawn, no doubt defecating on their lawn, eating their pets, eating the wildlife. I've seen a photograph with a Haitian walking with a goose that he'd killed. I mean, I think all this is real. And there you had ABC News just mockingly telling Trump he was wrong. It was disgusting. John.
Yeah, the guy you were referring to had two geese. Those are rather large birds. And in places where I'm at, they may have a golf course, a lake. Birds tend to go there, ducks, geese, and so on. And for them to think that they could just go up and do that, those are basically friendly birds up to a point. And these guys are hunters. I live in a building where there's a lot of Haitians that have come in under the special asylee status thing. I haven't seen too much here, but I've noticed an absence of a few cats lately.
Uh-huh.
Hint.
I do believe it. I think Trump was absolutely right.
Sure,
I found it completely disgusting that these moderators were contradicting him bald-faced and putting him down. I mean, that was clearly planned in advance.
Well, it's a voodoo thing, too. They practice voodoo. Just like in Mexico, they have the Maltrucha, MS-13. They practice certain types of witchcraft, voodoo-type stuff, but in Haiti in particular. But unless they're converted Christians or some other angle, you still have to be careful. You know, the ones I've come into contact with are interesting. In fact, I had water delivered about a week ago from a guy that was Haitian, and I have to speak Spanish. Their English is broken, and this guy's admitted that he came from Venezuela, not Mexico. The other ones will say 2 to 4 years in Mexico before they come back, unless they're coached to say that. But this one guy admitted it because I was being friendly, just talking to him, and I know how to speak to him a certain way, and I had my Spanish skills and so forth. And he said, oh, no, he comes from Venezuela. That's interesting. That's a long swim to Venezuela, to San Diego, isn't it?
Here's another number, 608-957-8727.
No reason you should.
Keep talking, John. Keep talking.
Oh, by the way,
Paul, on.
I was going to try and get Michelle Abbott on the air.
957-8727.
She just went through some horrendous family losses here in the last month or so.
8727.
They're having hearings regarding the J6ers, and she's going to be part of this thing this morning, if not right now. I was trying to get her on the air, and she was too busy with this other stuff. But I wanted to quote the name of this judge because, hold on, bear with me. These computers. She said basically that when she came back she came back on a memorial service. I'll sugarcoat it. And then while this was going on, her son was hit by a hit and run motorcycle accident thing. So this is getting really obviously suspicious. She's headed back to D.C. and in front of Judge Reyes. That's the judge that's supposedly going to be deciding on a lot of information about Ashley Babbitt's death that they've taken so long. And then look at J6ers. I got information just yesterday they were putting out that even the January 6th defendants were vacated and felony charges were dropped against 12 people. That's critical. That means the rest of those people ought to be released after how many years? 3.5 years now? This is outrageous. That's not a justice system.
You're being blocked. We'll just do it over the cell phone. I put it on. We'll just talk.
You think that's the case? I'm being blocked?
Yeah, of course it is. Hang on. I got Paul here. Paul, you're on
here. I can hear him.
John Carmen, and he go. Give us your initial thoughts, Paul. I'm so glad to have you here.
Well, after a little bit of interference, I guess I can be on your show.
reboot the computer.
Welcome to myself. Thanks, Jim, for having me on here. I feel like an honored guest. I feel like in the past I've just done a little stand-up routine, and now I've been invited to the couch, just like on the Tonight Show.
Absolutely, that's right, Paul. I love your opinions, even when I disagree with them. I'm glad to have you here. Give us your thoughts about all of the above we've been talking about. Long-range missile threats to Russia, which Putin says will be regarded as a declaration of war by NATO, and the debate, which appears to have been completely rigged. And while I know you don't think our elections matter, I'm interested in your commentary on the political theater as it's being played out.
Well, I'm actually quite frightened by the prospect of these long-range missiles because my sources tell me that they are packed to the gills with Haitians and Venezuelans, and they're going to bombard us with the biological weapons. That's meant to be a little bit of humor, but this is actually what I believe is the most important agenda to these people. I think we can conclude that money doesn't matter to them because they're paying them to come here. We've all heard rumors that they're getting so much for rent or so much for food stamps, phones and or phone cards and so forth. So why on earth would they be doing this? Because it doesn't serve, they're not going to be part of any tax revenue collection. And contrary to the opinions expressed by many, including yourself, Jim, they're not going to be, it's not for voting because as we all know, they steal and rig elections. So to say that, you know, that eventually or even in the short term, they're going to vote Democrat, in my opinion, is completely insane because for a very long time, votes don't matter. So what's at play here? You know that I've made my bones, if you will, on the racial agenda because I believe that's what's taking place. And I think the war can be looked at in a similar manner. Right. They're not trying to start a war between a couple of African countries or a couple of South American countries. You know, what they're trying to do is to get white people to kill each other. And they've had success doing this in the past, as you know, with World War I and World War II, where my view on that is we lost a lot of precious white biology, which, in my opinion, no doubt, is the most valuable and viable racial biology that this Earth presently knows. And there's no doubt about they've had success at reducing the white birth rate. They started on this project in earnest back in the 60s with their social and cultural engineering. And then, of course, as many people have covered, the things that they're putting in the food and the water that act as, essentially as mild sterilization agents, if you will, because if you can reduce fertility, I think you could call that a sterilization agent. And so that's what's at play. That's how I look at everything. And you know that I've made comments before about politics being irrelevant. I don't think that you could really disagree with much of what I've said. And you yourself have covered the fact that some of these politicians appear to be fake actors or imposters and variations of latex masks.
Yes.
And now when we're watching television, do we really know what we're seeing? Right. In other words, could these debates just be completely contrived and not actually live, not actually in front of a real TV studio audience, but in front of a fake TV studio audience? I mean, even when you watch things on TV that are actually on TV, we all know they're pre-recorded in many cases. So Can any of what we're presented with be trusted? I think the answer to that is no. And you guys can react to what I just said. I have plenty more. Thanks.
Yeah, Paul. No, I mean, you don't take anything for granted these days, but you have to judge it in terms of coherence with everything you know, the things you consider to be verifiable facts, and whether or not what you're hearing or being presented is consistent with those verifiable facts as a yardstick. The coherence of all of the evidence available to you, in other words, is the measure of what you take to be true. But even then, even when all the evidence you have coheres, it's possible you may have drawn a false conclusion where additional new evidence or verifiable facts may enable you to discover and correct false beliefs. John, go ahead.
Yeah, happy Friday the 13th, right? I had to reboot my computer. And every time we do a show on Fridays, that's when I get the attacks, and probably Paul's getting similar stuff where you have to reboot it. They try to get rid of your browser and all these other things. But I agree with a lot of the points that Paul just brought up, which are pretty good, very intuitive, because I've seen these very same things with members of Congress like Chuck Grassley when they came to the border to do their little tour. Even he admitted it when I talked to him, because I have no problem talking to these people. A lot of the other people I worked around were afraid to go even meet with him. And he says, yeah, it's another dog and pony show. He knows that. They double the staff. They make it look like a big operation. And as soon as they leave, they cut back on what they actually work with. And the managers get money on kickbacks because they cut back on money and expenses. Well, that's all a game. But back to the dog and pony show, we're being lied to by all the members of Congress, in my opinion. And they're still covering up for the July 13th incident. And they keep talking about crooks and all these other things. And they're not going to charge anybody. They got five people or four or five people in the Secret Service on administrative leave now. They'll be the scapegoats or the sacrificial lambs if they have to. They'll have to fall on their sword or something. So they'll come up with some scam to cover up the real dirty work that's going on behind the Congress. They haven't helped me. They haven't helped a lot of people. You know, and I just got off of messaging with Michelle Abbott, who's Ashley Babbitt's mom. And how long has this been going on? 3.5 years. And there's still J6ers still in prison. And they barely let about a dozen people get off and reduce the felony or remove. They vacated. That's the proper word. They vacated the sentence or the thing there. They haven't even been to court. They haven't been given proper representation. So people need to wake up to this stuff. Welcome to communist United States of America under Marxism, like Kamala Harris, a Marxist. Go ahead.
That's a very accurate statement. A lot of people
can't hear him.
We are in active communism right now. In other words, if communism is a thing and actually exists, okay, which of course all these things are conceptual, similar to Democrat, Republic, liberal, progressive. These are all, in my opinion, conceptual terms. However, when you look at what you know communism supposedly entails and embraces, no one could argue that we're not there right now. And if you understand truly, as many of us in what we call the white nationalist circles, and I'm firmly ensconced in white nationalist circles, communism is no different than Jewish rule. Okay, we're being ruled by a completely Jewish superstructure worldwide, and of course, a completely dominated political, financial, and media information system. In this country, which is thoroughly Jewish and has been for probably before we were all born. So this is the problem for the average American person to apprehend this reality and to process it. It's hard enough to get people to believe that what they're being told is either a fake or a lie. That would be step one. And then the next big step that's very difficult for most people to make is to realize that we have essentially an alien enemy who hates us, and as Victor Hugo constantly stresses, who is trying to kill us short-term, medium-term, and long-term. And when you look at the fact, and I don't believe it's anything other than undeniable, of the agendas, multiple agendas they're pursuing, okay, to our detriment, okay, both in terms of our actual physical health in this world and our mortality and our cultural and social support systems. All these things are under attack for one reason and one reason only, and it's because these people are not our friends. And so, you know, this is, you know, what I would call the operating system that you have to, you know, you have to come to grips with before you can understand, you know, the why, what's going on. I think we've all been at the point in our lives where we scratch our heads and go, why are they doing this? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I started that ladder back in my 20s. And the more you climb up that ladder and try to answer that question about why are they doing this? It doesn't make any sense. Well, then sooner or later, the only thing that makes sense is we have an alien enemy, a racial alien enemy that wants to do us in, and they're doing everything they can to reset goal.
John.
Hey, Paul, can you limit that down to like specific categories of Jewish? Because I know a lot of Jewish people off and on and stuff like that. And I was taught by a rabbi on Eastern religions in China Lake Ridgecrest years ago, back in 71, 72. But Khazarian Jews versus regular Jews, or?
Well, so this is a sort of question that's come up many times. It's a variation of what I would call the not all argument, which I think I pretty thoroughly dispensed with before. But I'm using it only as descriptor. Some of these people we know and can identify, and others we don't know. And obviously, I could probably say I'm firm ground by saying, well, they're probably not all Jewish. I'm sure there's a lot of cooperators, which historically has been known as Shabbos Goy, right? That's a very well understood historical term. So there's what you call Shabbos Goy cooperators, as well as, and these people are not pure. In other words, Jews have historically been a mongrelized or mixed race. This is also quite well understood from back in those times in Eastern Europe and Russia. In fact, probably the most historical knowledge comes from that part of the world. We in America, when we came up, you know, coming up 200 something years, initially the average working person in America probably did not know anything about this sort of history, especially if they were born here. But back in Europe, there was a written history and probably an oral, you know, tradition as well, describing these people. They've been written about for a couple of thousand years.
Hey, so, did you hear about that interview with Abe Finkelstein and James Wickstrom?
I believe I've heard a number of things James Wickstrom has done. I'm not as thoroughly studied on him as I am on others, such as William Pierce, for example. And there's a guy I just recently discovered, a guy by the name of Edmondson. He actually died in 1953. But this guy Edmondson was quite the pamphleteer, supposedly, according to this article and this video I watched, that he himself personally was behind the distribution of nearly 5 million pamphlets and brochures in his lifetime, including back in the 30s, trying to spread the fact that Roosevelt was Jewish. And of course, there's always been people such as Father Coughlin, Charles Lindbergh, and Louis T. McFadden, and others that have tried to enlighten us on the devilish banking conspiracy to own and steal all our wealth. I mean, to basically own our productive capacity as a people, and to have us beholden to them for generations upon generations of never-ending interest. So, I mean, again, the average person just lives day-to-day, month-to-month, week-to-week, just like I do, right? Just like we all do, trying to enjoy life for what it is. But in terms of the financial struggle, we've all heard the various reports that 70% or more of the average American working person could not sustain a $500 or $1,000 emergency, because they don't have that much money saved, right? So, you know, the wealth has been aggregated in a few hands, and the Republic is being destroyed, making Lincoln's fears and that famous remark come to fruition, unfortunately. So the last thing I'll say about what your initial question was, John, is that obviously we have to use these descriptors to, you know, so we can define, you know, the parameters of our problem, our issue. So, for example, not all Italians or Sicilians were in Cosa Nostra, right? But that doesn't mean that it wasn't predominantly an Italian or, you know, Sicilian thing, okay? And, of course, many, by the way, David Duke and others have done great research showing that many of the mobsters that we mistakenly think were Italian were in actuality Jewish. I've said many times on the air that there's no doubt in my mind that Al Capone was Jewish. You just look at his face. And then, of course, Bugsy Siegel and all of that. So, again, these people have had their hands in all sorts of dastardly deeds throughout history. And when you look at the agenda today and who is funding it, who has the capacity to fund it, right, these politicians are just looking the other way and allowing what's occurring, okay? They've either been bribed or they're just told to just don't say anything. If you like your position, right, if you like your pension, if you like all your benefits and perks, then go along and keep your mouth shut. And so, I mean, it's no accident that we have all sorts of Jewish governors and Jewish and or black mayors and or homosexual mayors and governors and, you know, LGBTQ police captains. And I mean, it really is just a goddamn mess, for lack of a better word.
That's interesting. I still want to encourage you to and other people to look at the Abe Finkelstein interview on YouTube by James Wickstrom, who's since passed away. And when you mentioned Bugsy Siegel, I've been doing research on Howard Hughes for several years now. Turns out that he had an affair with somebody related to Bugsy Siegel, and Bugsy Siegel was assassinated in Las Vegas. So apparently the husband to this person reacted because there was some scam going on. But yeah, you're right about that. Look at Las Vegas and the mob influence and so forth. And it's kind of like if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck joke. So, yeah, I get that too. But, yeah, yeah, you're tied in with that, and you understand it just like I do. And I think David Duke is on the Jeff Rentz program quite a bit too, right?
Yeah, sure. And not to leave out any names, but this is another subject where I don't mean to go down this side road. But, for example, Meyer Lansky, okay, and you know, even the character Mo Green in the Godfather movie was based upon an actual real guy named Mo Dalitz. And, you know, they were thoroughly Jewish. The majority, not all, but the majority of the mobsters that started in Las Vegas were all Jewish. So essentially, everywhere you go, it's like it's a web. It reminds me of a book that I read a long, long time ago, and I could probably still find it in a box of books somewhere called Web of Conspiracy. And so many things, whether or not they explicitly name the Jews, when you start to delve into it, they're behind it. And there's a famous line from, I think it was Mein Kampf, where he basically said that under every rock that you turn over, there it is. So, yeah. Jim?
Yeah, no, this is good stuff. Paul, I'm just glad to have the opportunity for you to lay out your views more comprehensively than you can during the regular call-in to my or to other shows. I'm glad to have you here. John, you want to ask a follow-up?
Yeah, I keep wanting to remember. I tried to go back to pull up that interview. It was very interesting because Wickstrom, well, it came off kind of negative, but this guy was even worse, was the alleged Finkelstein guy. And he challenged in the interview this thing about 6 million Jews. And the guy would say, oh, it's only a number. It's only a number. See, they don't care. They lie. But when they talked about George Bush Jr., the guy says, oh, he was a good guy. You know, little comments like that. So everything that comes out, and I've run into some of these people that looked like they were satanic, ritualistic type people that, and I've seen some tall ones too that were rabbis that they didn't fit the other descriptions of the good people I had met. 6'4", kind of reddish blondish hair with a fiery blue eye thing with a nasty look. And normally, if you say shalom, like on a Friday or something like that, you would expect a proper response. If you talk to a Muslim on the street and you say, assalamu alaikum. And if they don't respond properly, there's something wrong with that person. You see, peace be upon you. What's wrong with that? Nothing. So you got to wonder continually. I only engage a certain amount of people during my daytime because of my restricted situation. But yeah, every time I get a chance and I see some, I'll try to engage somebody to see the response, to measure the response, kind of like a little experiment, but you still have to feel your way around. And my building has lots of Haitians, joke. So I know about the money they get, $5,000 a month, special vouchers, nice cars, and they get jobs dropping off water from Walmart. Fact case there.
And meanwhile, you're struggling, as you made the point many times. In fact, when I was laying the case out earlier about the kind of money they're being given and why is this occurring, I thought about you and all the things that you've said before. So again, it just buttresses or reinforces my case that this is primarily a racial agenda. Okay, it's a war on our racial biology because there is no other benefit to bringing these people in. So, for example, when you take what's going on in Springfield, Ohio, okay, and I'm sure it's happening many other. This is just the latest case. I mean, way, way long time ago, they dropped 10,000 Somalis in Bangor, Maine, okay? And at that time, Maine was the whitest state in the nation. I believe Minnesota was second, along with, like, Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, I mean, et cetera. This is just stuff I remember. But there's no doubt about the fact that they are dropping blacks in Idaho. They're doing it in Minnesota. It's a deliberate racial war. There's no doubt about it. And for example, I don't know how many Haitians are in Springfield, Ohio, but you can be sure that 15, 20 years from now, okay, white American girls are going to be giving birth to mulatto kids, and that particular avenue of our genetic road is being destroyed.
Stand by, Paul. We'll be right back after this break.
Good point. Good point.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim.
Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. Radio, 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 radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Paul, I'm so pleased to have you here today with me and John. Give us some further thoughts.
Well, I heard you speaking earlier about the fear of the escalation of the war in Ukraine to a much wider theater, if you will.
Yes.
I've said for a long time, and you know, I've made many predictions on your show before, and I'm kind of proud to say that I mostly have been right. I don't really fear that. I think that that's something they're using to scare us or hold over on us. But I believe they're using this for mostly political theater purposes. And I do believe that at the highest levels, the controlling superstructure that's running the world, and I really do believe there is such a thing behind the scenes, where phone calls are made and agendas are decided upon. I mean, nothing could bolster that case more strongly than the COVID-19 worldwide agenda, which was, in my opinion, very thoroughly implemented in most of the major countries. So having said that, I just don't believe that it's going to escalate the way that in many cases you think it might.
I sure wish you were right about that, Paul. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm dealing with other stuff here. Paul's hitting on some good stuff that I've been monitoring for years. It's part of my background at U.S. Customs. And when these people come in and they get these special vouchers, $5,000 a month, a new car to vote Democrat, reminds me of the Hessian troops back in the original war in 1775. Where they brought Hessian troops in. Well, that's what they do. They bring in foreign enemies or foreign government. Same difference, no different. United Nations and all these agendas and stuff. That's what the Democrats are doing. They will bring in a war. They will bring in foreigners like they're doing now in violation of the human trafficking laws. And every Border Patrol agent at the border that was down there, and I'm not Border Patrol, I was Customs, they're letting people in contrary to 8 U.S.C., 1324, which is the human trafficking code that you get arrested for trafficking and bringing people across the border. Biden is guilty of it. Kamala Harris, who's allegedly the border czar, is guilty of it. And they don't care. That's the point. And they're sending millions and billions and trillions of dollars overseas to pretend to have a war in Ukraine because that is a cover story. That's how they funnel the money out. So anyway, get me going. They're bringing them in.
John, I'm sure you're probably aware as well, but they did it in the Civil War. Okay, the Union actually used foreign troops. It was well reported at the time that a lot of these troops didn't speak English. So again,
this right. They had French and Spanish, Mexican, you name it.
Yeah. So this is something that has come before, as they say. And immigration again is one of these things where we all know how to solve it. It's already been solved in the past. Any high school sophomore could sit down and draw up plans and solve this thing. It would be easy as pie. It's an agenda that's wanted, and there's guilty people in both parties. And it's simple. I remember way back when, probably goes back to the, I don't know, the late 80s or early 90s, I met this cop, an ex-cop at the time, and he told me the way things used to be done. Where, because this idea that immigration is federal is just a ruse, right? Because everything is local, okay? We don't do anything on the federal level. It's conceptual only. Where you live, where you work, and where other people live and work, and where you travel, everything is local, whether it's a city or a county or even a state. So when a police officer encounters an illegal alien, for example, he doesn't have proper paperwork, maybe he gets pulled over for a traffic violation, whatever, if he's not in the country legally, right, then they just take him to jail, and he sits in the jail on an immigration hold. And as this one cop used to tell me, and he served right here in the Bay Area, that about once a month or so, the border bus, or, you know, the immigration bus would come around to all the county jails and pick up all the illegals on hold, and that's that. We don't need any super special wall, okay? We don't need some modified or improved federal immigration policy. They're always talking about reform. We need immigration reform. We've never needed any reform. We just need to enforce the existing laws.
Exactly.
And that's not being done on purpose, okay? They call it policy. But where in the law, where in the Constitution, where in any code can you show me that policy trumps law? It doesn't. So what we have, I've made this call many times. I started out in Stormfront years ago when I called in. I said, there is no law. We have to get that inside of our heads as firmly as possible. These people make it up. And as Jim has very well experienced with his court case, they don't care about the law. They don't care about principles. They don't care about evidence, right? It's all about who has power.
It's a game. Yeah, what you said about the procedure, because I was also a San Diego police officer, and I came across illegals, and you put, and I've chased them too. I don't care. I chased Irish people up and down the canyons one day, put them in there on a BP hold. That's Border Patrol hold. That means after he finishes his court case, where whatever that was at the state superior court, California or county, then they have to turn him over to Border Patrol, and then they process him out under an immigration deportation procedure. So you've already outlined basically a similar case. So that does go on. But I guess Joe Arpaio got in trouble because they made him turn in all their badges because they cross-designated them Immigration Border Patrol to legally detain these people, because otherwise they don't want you wasting resources for the state that they are in, Arizona, California, doesn't matter, to detain all these people even on a regular traffic ticket. And when you get people like that, there's not much you can do because they're using up resources that they don't have. That's why they keep us all at a minimum at the border, on the police departments, wherever you're at. And I worked up in San Francisco at the U.S. Mint. It's all minimal, you know. No, go ahead. I'm getting a distraction on a call.
I was just listening. And, I mean, many people have heard these things before, and I know Jim has, but it's just worth repeating that, obviously, whatever is occurring is what is wanted. Okay, if it wasn't wanted at the highest level, then it wouldn't be occurring. And so what they do is they give us this dog and pony show, this stage play debate where, you know, somebody like Harris and Trump trade barbs at each other. And neither one of them has the control or authority to really change this. If they really do try, they're more than likely going to be opposed. Okay, we already know that Kamala Harris won't try. And Trump may make some gestures, but as Jim has heard me say, and he, you know, he's welcome to come on any of our shows over at Freedom, Truth, Justice, FTJ Media, where we've covered this over and over, and my friend and co-host Davis Lerman on his show, The Right Perspective, has said it best over and over again. He said that Trump is the pretend friend of white people, okay? And we've all heard him say very, very complimentary things about blacks, his black American supporters, and the Hispanics or the Mexicans. And, I mean, he plays up to the other races, but he won't do it with white people. And you could actually make the case that if the elections were real, and I don't believe they are, that Trump would have lost a good percentage of the white vote that would formerly have supported him, because they now understand him for what he is, which is a servant of the Zionist agenda. I mean, we've all heard clips of Trump saying what a great friend Israel he is, and these people, the so-called Zionists, they're in firm support of Donald Trump. He's received plenty of Jewish donations and Jewish money. So there may be factions at the highest level that are opposed to Trump for one reason or another, but in general, he's a servant of their agenda, and no one in the circles that I am aware of actually really believes that Trump is a real friend to traditional white Americans, and that he won't really prevent our country from being destroyed short-term, medium-term, and long-term, because that sure as heck looks like what's occurring.
Well, Paul, of course, I don't buy that, but of course I could be proven to be mistaken. I do think Trump actually does put America first, and that's why the Zionists are nervous about him. That's the only reason why they'd contemplate taking him out, because he talks too much about American nationalism, about America first, and actually talks about issues that matter to Americans, not just the economy, undertaking the largest deportation of illegals in our history, restoring law and order, keeping men out of women's sports and the like. I continue to believe Trump with qualification is the real deal, and he does really intend to help America get us back on track. He did it before. I mean, that question that Kamala evaded, are we better off now than we were 4 years ago, and for the reason that we were overwhelmingly better off 4 years ago. And at a minimum, I would expect Trump would, roughly speaking, get us back to something, a close approximation of where we were then. John, and then Paul, of course, for a rebuttal. John.
Yeah, that was the point. You know, were we better off 4 years? Yeah, hell yes, we were. And they won't answer a straight question because they would be shooting themselves in the foot, which I recommend. Because they're still proposing that they're helping people, that Americans have jobs. And by the way, it's policy, in case anybody didn't know it, at the White House, they fired people because they wouldn't report the proper statistic that the unemployment is always below 3.5 or less than 4%, something like that. Anybody who reports higher than that gets fired, and then they give it to the next guy until they figure out what's going on. They figure it out. Oh, I get it. 3.5, sir? Yeah, that's acceptable ratios. It's intentional. So the American public is blind. They're not getting it. And they have all this stuff going on where these people are lying and shipping money off to foreign countries and stealing the money off the top, big 10% for the big guy and all that, and nothing's going on with homeless people in the United States. And that was a good point that Trump brought up, too. You know, because I know people in the street, as soon as I leave to go check my mail, go to a doctor's appointment, whatever, homeless people in the street, while other people are being held inside in a nice apartment somewhere, and homeless veterans also were kicked out because they only get $100 a night, where they get over $150 and $175 a night for illegals. It's the money, federally funded money that they steal from the taxpayers. Go ahead.
Yeah, so just so brief in response to that, then I'll respond to Jim. But yeah, so this is pretty well understood. You're correct. In other words, white Americans, right, white American veterans are going to get, almost nothing. Yeah. And non-white foreigners are going to get their refrigerators stocked full of food. And literally that is happening. That's been reported that they're given apartments with refrigerators full of food as well as their vouchers, okay? I mean, so why would they do that? What is going on? And, of course, there's only one answer that makes any sense at all. And, again, it's what I said before. I've been saying it for years. Jim knows well. We used to butt heads about it, but I think mainly it was because of the terms that I used. I used racial slurs to define these people. And I still do that. I'm not going to do it today because I've got a nice audio track record on the Internet of that already. But it is clearly a racial biological agenda against us, because these people are going to come here, they're going to reproduce, their birth rates are higher than ours, okay? Ours have been deliberately lowered through many means besides the cultural and, you know, anyway, so having said that, I'm going to respond to what Jim said. So Jim, you know, we talked about this. You're welcome to that belief. And I think in part, some of these things that you believe are likely to be true. But the majority, I don't believe it. I firmly take the other side until proven otherwise. And I think that if they steal the election again and install Kamala Harris, that will partially prove your point. So in other words, your point being that these so-called Zionists or a faction of these Zionists are adamantly opposed and afraid of Trump. And it's not so much because what they think he may or may not do, that's of course part of it, but it's because they probably can't control him, right? I mean, Kamala Harris, of course, is the classic empty suit, and it may not have really been her in that debate. I'm open to the fact that that may have been an actress that was very well trained and had a superior verbal ability, because I think we've all seen Kamala Harris's verbal ability before. You know, there's a well-known, what I would call metric for that is, do the things that you say come out and flow in a nice pattern that makes sense and addresses the questions that were asked and the issues that were posed? And I think we've all seen plenty of clips in the past where that was not true of Kamala Harris. But suddenly in this debate, I'm not saying she performed like a star, but in my opinion, that's the best version of her that I have seen by far in, to my mind, so far above that it was suspicious.
Yeah.
And I think I don't think it could be explained away by having an earpiece, because when somebody's feeding you answers, there's a little delay between hearing the sentences that you're told and then saying the sentences. You know what I'm saying? And you would catch the glitch. So even if she had the answers ahead of time and was fed the responses in an earpiece, it still would not have come off as smoothly as her performance. So that's why I'm saying that the whole thing may have been sort of fakey or AI enhanced, or it wasn't really her. So this is politics today, politics du jour in America. It's fakery and fraud and staging at every turn.
Yeah.
And Jim has done the work before on Biden. We all know Jim's work on Biden, and I know Jim has covered the idea of the fake White House set that was occurring early on. So who does this? Who has the power to do this? I've always referred to it as the stage production company behind the scenes. You know, the people that are that own the theater and are putting on the show, they have the ability to do this and to present to us, the audience, whatever it is they want us to see. So, you know, we've all heard the term manufacturing consent, which I believe Noam Chomsky made famous. And what I've been saying for quite a while is they manufacture our reality and they manufacture our opinions because they manufacture the reality.
Yeah, I've said on numerous occasions that the strongest evidence that Trump actually is a nationalist is the ferocity of the opposition to impeachment, stealing elections, going out of their way with this lawfare, these phony suits, none of which have any merit either in fact or in law. All the efforts, even what appears, in my opinion, to have been a genuinely planned attempt to assassinate Trump, of which he got wind and turned to his advantage, for which I do not blame him. I think it was a brilliant stroke to be a superhero rather than a dead Donald. But I truly reaffirm again and again, there is so much opposition to Trump. That is because there are so many forces that fear what he will do when he is in office. And that, in my judgment, speaks well of him on his behalf. John, your thoughts.
Yeah, I was going back on the stuff when I was evaluating Harris, because I watched her carefully, and I'm doing the behavioral analysis technique, and if she had an earpiece, it's very possible, but at the same time, she didn't act like she was listening. You know what I mean? You know how people are listening, but they're not paying attention. But she actively involved back and forth with Donald, or Mr. Trump, and they didn't have the mics cold like they claimed. That's intentional. But I think he took it in the right way on the Butler incident, and he did exactly what he should have. So we had a little miracle, but they're still covering up more than one shooter continually. So it's the deep state. It goes way back, and even back to Maxine Waters and other Democrats are encouraging people to have confrontations in the street, at a gas station, and things like that. That's inciting riots, and how come they're not being arrested? They're not immune. They're not in Congress at the time, and they're not on the platform doing a debate or a speech or something like that where they're supposedly covered and they could say anything under the First Amendment. When they're out in the public, they're inciting a riot. They need to be arrested, and they're not doing it. Just a little comment there. Go ahead.
Well, in keeping so far with the very cordial decorum on the show, I'm going to vehemently take the other side, Jim, about what you said about the so-called assassination attempts. And I'm kind of surprised. I thought that you were firmly on our side, but it seems like you're going back a little bit. I don't believe for 1 second that there was an actual bullet fired and then, you know, hit Trump's ear. I mean, I believe that.
I'm not saying there was, Paul. I'm saying there was a plan to take him out. And that he got wind of it and flipped the script. And the evidence includes 29 million shares of Donald J. Trump stock that were shorted in advance, that we had Victoria Nuland speaking in advance that there's going to be a surprise and Donald Trump is not going to be president for 4 more years, that Mike Pompeo was talking about that Nikki Haley was going to be the candidate and he was going to be your VP and discounting Trump. I'm talking about evidence like that and the fact that DHS and the FBI and the Secret Service are unwilling to give their records for protecting him. That's the sort of evidence I'm talking about, Paul.
Well, let me interject. They erased a lot of the telephone records intentionally. In fact, somebody was trying to sell a thumb drive recently. I won't mention names because they're probably under investigation right now, where they captured the information. It was transmissions that have the names or phone numbers of actual law enforcement officials at that site. So they, Kimberly Cheadle, the former director, was actively involved in a cover-up, and that's not good. But yeah, I see the indicators too. But go ahead, Paul.
Okay, well, so that's a horse of a different color, Jim, and I would just, my reaction to everything you just said is, whoa, okay, well, that's a whole show in of itself. I definitely need more information, many more details to grasp how they, this, because it's like a Mission Impossible episode from the 70s. However, that being said, so as long as we're sort of in agreement, which is, and again, you don't have to be in agreement with this, but I sort of feel this. I'm no ballistics expert, but I've seen plenty of footage online of bullets hitting.
Paul, he was not hit by a bullet. That was fake. It was a blood cap, so I don't have any doubt. When he took off the bandage, no harm, no scar, no effects. Right. I agree with all that, Paul. I agree with all. I also agree that the crowd was crisis actors. PK was very good at that. Look at the minuscule size of that crowd. That wasn't a Trump crowd. That was a group of crisis actors for a staged event.
Right. So I first heard Sophia mention that too. I did not know, but why do it in this little place called Butler when Pittsburgh was 30 miles away, you know? And so that much more controllable environment.
Yeah.
But just to finish my thought, though, I think we've all seen it's worth saying because I, you know, once I get something in my head, I want to finish it out.
Sure.
So, yeah, we've all seen those films of footage of bullets hitting the ballistics gelatin,
sure,
or cinder blocks,
sure,
or
melons or whatever.
And,
yeah,
if a 2,000 feet per second plus rifle bullet was to touch Trump's ear, it would blast it. Okay, there'd be a big hunk missing. Okay, it wouldn't heal up. So at least we are all on the same page in that the whole damn thing was fake. However much Trump had any influence or control about the big picture, I don't know. That's debatable. But again, I'm open because we live in a crazy world, Jim. I've made this point many times, and I think John has heard me say it, but you can best understand so many things going on in the world if you look at it as like one of those science fiction movies from the 50s or the 60s. It's just bizarre, everything that's occurring.
Yeah, yeah. We're in complete agreement. John, I'm glad to say you follow those indications and you're inclined to agree with me that it was flipping the script. I mean, that's the best way to describe it. John, are you there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I couldn't hear. I got a distraction over here. Let me interject real quick because Paul was saying something about the ballistics or whatever. I've got experts I talked to as well. There's no way it was a .223. It was a .22 long rifle type round, which is easily suppressed. And a lot of people don't even want to use that word, subsonic and suppressed ammo. When you shoot a .22, which is a preferred weapon of like the Mossad or assassins, it's easily suppressed. And what Paul was alluding to is if it was a .223, that's up to about 3,000 foot per second, and it would have caused some serious trauma or damage just passing by, maybe.
Yes.
So, yeah I get that too. But 22 long rifle, it's not Crooks, it's Rurik or Yurik on top of the roof. He's dead. Crooks got away. He was a backup or a spotter person who did not show up. There's a lot of inconsistencies in the whole thing. And then they've got Butler PD over in the GYM building, the gym building. Well, this other suspect, they called him the actor.
Stand by. We're going to open the calls. We're going to open the calls when we return from this break. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we already have two callers standing by. For those who don't know, the number 608-957-8727. I repeat, 608-957-8727. Unless I missed my guess, 816 is Brian. Brian, join the conversation.
Yeah, one thing that you tripped my memory banks on something from a long time ago when you were talking about all the illegals, and Paul said, you know, there's no laws, it's just policy, they do what they want. It reminded me of back in the late 70s, I started this lawn sprinkler installation business. This was 1977. And there was a guy, I think he was even Jewish, and he employed people from south of the border. He had like 10, 15 of them working for him back then. And that was rare. You just never saw him. I didn't even know where he was finding them. He actually back then was arrested. Okay. Everybody was deported and this guy was arrested for violating laws. And so it just shows you how different things are. And then the other thing of interest with that is then later on, of course, they're all over here now, and they have been for years. But I started this huge project on a lawn sprinkler. It was in the middle of the winter, where normally I couldn't do this, but the weather was warm, and my normal help was on unemployment for the winter. So there was a place in town where I could go and get some Mexican help to kind of, you know, get me through this big job. And one of the guys was from Mexico, and he was clueless with everything we talked about. And so I filled him in because he thought he was in the land of opportunity and, you know, that everything here was free and there was no corruption. And what amazed me is when I explained things to him coming from Mexico, he took in everything I said and believed everything I said, and it kind of depressed him. He said, my God, I thought I was leaving all that stuff behind. So it was kind of nice to see that those people that have been subjected to all these, you know, scumbags we've got for years, that when they've come from it, they're more willing to accept what you tell them. So that's what I had to say about everything.
Paul, did you want to comment? And John?
Yeah, no, I was dying to. I just wanted to wait till he finished. Brian, I did not know we are then brothers because that was what I did. I mean, I used to love sprinkler work. I started in the business. Yeah, I used to do a lot of repair too. I would repair and modify sprinkler systems because in many cases they were inadequate or heads were clogged up and, you know, they were old. I used to sometimes repair or replace the old galvanized pipes back in the day. So, in fact, I found that repair and modification was in many cases a little bit more profitable than just a new install. But I did it all. And get this, this will date me. So I started, I was worked for somebody else for a couple of years, 75, 76. And then 77 going into 78, I started on my own. And it didn't take me long. Probably within a couple of years, I had anywhere from 10 to 12 people working for me at any given time. With my little business concern there. And it was all white. I mean, every person that worked for me was white. Okay, that's how, that's what the landscape business was like back in those days. And now you will see a white supervisor on occasion, but most cases now around California, especially in the Bay Area, you see nothing but Mexican crews with a Mexican supervisor. And it's just, it's one of those things. But yeah, that was my business. That was my trade. And I used to love, it was quite satisfying to put in, you know, a well-working sprinkler system. And you can imagine me being of German descent, and I insisted that all my sprinkler systems be very thoroughly designed and covered well. So there was no need ever to repair it in the future unless something went broken.
What a terrific overlap there. John, did you want to add?
Well, I was trying to make my point earlier. I was trying to give more detail about what happened in Butler. A lot of people don't realize that there were other snipers there that may have taken the shot that allegedly killed off this guy, Rurik, not Crooks. And every video that comes up in the first 5 minutes, as soon as they use the word Crooks, then that'll tell you right away where they're trying to take this propaganda. So all these conspiracies are still trying to sell out the idea. One lone male gunman, when it wasn't true, they had four or five gunmen, two shooters that got hits in that area, and as far as the far left of the building from a window, and people in the parking lot. But yet, you got to ask the question, how come a Butler PD sniper, counter sniper, they say sniper, but they didn't use the word counter sniper, is pointed towards the actual stand where Trump is doing his presentation? Doesn't make sense. Snipers point the other way. See what I mean? So I could do a whole show just on that alone, but I didn't want to take it away.
Let's do that another time. That's a whole other show. But yeah, the other thing I'll add to Brian's comments, and then we can go to the next caller. But I do remember back in that time period, in other words, the late 70s going into the early 80s, I would periodically hear about or read of sting operations to catch contractors and other businesses that were using illegal labor. Okay, they used to do that. So, of course, I wasn't worried at the time because I didn't start using so-called illegal labor until a little bit later in my career when it was just so abundantly available. But yeah, they used to do sting operations to catch businesses and contractors that were using illegals. So if you can just imagine that compared to the world we are today.
Area code 850, is it Frank? Join the conversation, 850.
No, this is Michael in North Carolina. And
Michael, yeah, go right ahead, Michael, my friend.
I wanted to say, I don't know who this guy Paul is, but he's the best caller I've heard you have in years. I mean,
He'll be delighted to hear that, Michael.
Well, I'm actually a plant in that regard, but I do have something of substance.
Go ahead, Michael. Finish your
regarding Paul's earlier comments about immigration and everything that we're seeing in that regard being racial. That is so obvious to anybody who's done the historical work, and the only reason everybody doesn't know about that agenda of the Jewish elite in the world, it's only because they haven't studied it, because the only place that you don't find the Kuttenhove-Kalergi plan, which has been in effect since the late 20s, is in the mass media. It's easy to see. I mean, even the European Union used to give the Kuttenhove-Kalergi prize to the head of state who forwarded that agenda more so than anybody else in the European Union. And they changed it to the Charlemagne prize so they wouldn't be so obvious about the agenda of flooding white Christian nations with third worlders. And Kudinhove Kalergi himself said that the point was to create a mongrelized race over which a Jewish elite would rule. So all of that is on the table, and that's the bottom line with all of this mass immigration that's funded by the people who make up money out of thin air and is for that purpose alone. Oh, excellent. And one other.
Go ahead.
Just one other comment regarding Brian. I'd like to contact him. So if you could make, if it's
Michael,
okay with
Brian, I've got it for you. Paul, go.
Okay.
Right ahead, Paul.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Michael, thanks for that. Your $50 check is in the mail.
$50? You told me 100.
That was worth a hell of a lot more than 50.
But that's the first time I heard about the Charlemagne Prize. Fascinating. I have heard of it before, but I didn't know that they had converted that from the Kalergi Prize. So as they say.
Kalergi was a darling of the Rothschilds, and I have a friend who just returned from spending several days in Switzerland, and there's some big presentation in some museum there about the great Kudinhove Kalergi, Count Kudinhove Kalergi. So, and she knew nothing about the stuff that I knew about the history.
And he was a mongrel. Yeah. He was a mutt himself.
That's right.
And they're doing this everywhere to all these white countries. I myself heard, I'm sure everybody on this show, most people are familiar with Dave Scorpio, but on one of his shows, he talked about his visit to Iceland. So he went to Iceland on a little mini vacation, and he talked about the fact that over there, you can even hear in the press and other places to talk about they need workers. Right? Workers. And of course, workers is a code word for non-whites coming into your country. So
mute. Yeah, we had a new caller join. New caller 870. Mute your phone and then we'll bring you in momentarily. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, the other addendum I will add to the racial agenda, which it dovetails, goes hand in glove with the destruction of the criminal justice system, and, you know, basically is allowing these people to either, you know, it's the old revolving door, the criminals in and out, or nowadays the little to no punishment, like they're just let out with deferred adjudication or probation to reoffend. Is it's well known and well understood, and Jim, you've covered it well yourself, that these people are not victims of white criminals, but it's the opposite. So in other words, white people are the victims of black and brown criminality and not vice versa. So that's another part of the agenda that they're doing. Again, it's part of their war against our racial biology. And what they count on as far as our reaction to this is the fact that we're all individuals, right? That's what they've been preaching to us. We all have freedom of speech, and we can all vote. Okay, and it's you know, the whole thing, it's a republic, and they're always doing all this to destroy any racial cohesion that we certainly used to have the way some of these groups have now.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's part of the picture too.
Good stuff. 870, join the conversation.
Hey, good morning. This is Gary in Arkansas.
Excellent, Gary.
Well,
go right
ahead. A few days ago, you gave a list of groups of people that may be sources for salvation for the American people. And one of those groups you did not add. You didn't include one of these groups. And that group is the people in the United States, the adults that have purchased firearms in the last 5 years.
Yes.
Right. You know, the FBI does background checks.
Right.
And they publish those monthly numbers.
Yeah.
Over the last 5 years, the FBI has done 170 million background checks.
Yes.
Right. That's,
I love
that
it,
means
Gary.
That,
yeah. You're making a good point. I wasn't specifically mentioning citizens, soldiers, law abiding citizens who are armed, I mentioned the sheriffs. I mentioned the motorcycle gangs. I mentioned the militia. But you're absolutely right. In overwhelming numbers, there are law-abiding citizens.
No, you, Professor, you don't understand. It's better, right? 65% of the adults in the United States have purchased a firearm in the last 5 years.
Yes.
Right. So the one of the executives at the Second Amendment Foundation did a study. Said we wanted to find out who's buying those guns and why.
Yeah.
And guess who's buying them? Democrats.
Well, that's interesting. What do you make of that? In other words, they're having an awakening. They're realizing they need guns because this country is falling apart.
The Democrats have bought 170 million firearms in the last 5 years because they are concerned for a total collapse of society.
Yeah.
Total collapse of society. And, of course, I would point out that the policies that they promote are causing that.
Of course, you're absolutely right, Gary. Paul, go ahead and respond, Paul.
Well, that's a great piece of information. Thanks for calling in, Gary. And I did not know what he just said. So that sort of makes me feel a little better.
Yeah. Me, Paul, I agree. I did not know either. I'm very pleased, Gary, that you called in. John, would you like to comment?
Hold on. I had to mute there. I'm listening to the information carefully, and I monitor these things, of course, as well from different angles. But if people aren't prepared, that's a nice piece of information about Democrats buying up guns where they're saying at the same time, Democrats think you're all stupid. Let's be clear about that. That's what they are. They're satanic, and they're going to get to the point where, they want the gun buybacks, turn in your guns, you shouldn't have an assault weapon, blah, 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 while they're buying up their own guns and giving billions and billions of dollars for weapons across the ocean to other countries. And those, and the Taliban, look at the $85 billion Taliban foul up. Look at all the weapons they left behind there. We're involved in a Trojan horse operation, and it's a revolutionary war, and people don't get it. People need to wake up. So all the time we get a chance to talk about this stuff is great, but people need to get out there and be active and do things, because before long, they will go door to door, and they'll act like the Marxist communists they are, and they will take away your weapons and arrest you or shoot you.
And that's where... what I may most long be remembered for, I've observed, when they come for our guns, the time has come to use them. Or some think then it's already too late. Michael, aren't you fascinated by Gary's report here?
Yes, that is a good piece of information. I hadn't heard that before.
Brian, did you want to comment?
Go ahead, Gary. Some historical perspective. The Anglo-Saxon culture was founded in the year 410, and the Anglo-Saxons elected a congress, and the congress appointed a king. And over the period from 400 to 1100, the Anglo-Saxons would follow the king's suggestions that it was unsafe for people to walk the streets armed, so the people would disarm. And when they were disarmed, the king's army would do what armies do. They go pillage, rape, and murder. And when the people got tired of that, they would make new arms. And back then, new arms was sharp sticks and clubs, right? And they would kill as many of the king's army as necessary to set up a free state. And they lived in a free state until they fell victim to the king's request that it wasn't safe having people on the public streets armed. So they disarmed, and they went through that same experience again. And so by the year 1100, they had come to believe that in order to have a free state, you had to have two requirements. One of them was an armed citizenry, and the second one was a prohibition on standing armies. So the people that wrote the U.S. Constitution understood that history, and they put both of those requirements in the U.S. Constitution. The armed citizenry is Amendment Number 2, And the prohibition on armies is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 12.
Very good, Gary. Love it. Paul, you want to add further thoughts? I'm delighted by Gary's call here.
Yeah, no, I gotta second that. That's one of the more valuable pieces of information on a call that I've heard in years. A nice little historical summation.
Excellent. You know, during the debate, Kabbalah rather startled everyone by claiming she owned a gun. I don't know if it's even true, but maybe it's a reflection of many Democrats owning guns. Maybe what Gary is talking about reflects a fundamental change in attitude of the Democrats, if not yet of the party. Gary, do you think that's the case?
Well, you know, if you look on YouTube, you can find a lot of videos about gun stores, and these videos are claiming that people that run gun stores, they're asked a question: do you ever see anybody that doesn't like guns? They said everybody that comes in here doesn't like guns, right? But they're coming in here to buy a gun because they're afraid.
Yeah, and you're talking about the last 5 years, all the Republicans, all the conservatives have long since armed up. So the new buyers are the group that are catching on to the situation we're in. This is really a fascinating report, Gary. I really welcome it. Wonderful.
I'll just add a quick thought to this, too, because you just meant something about people that don't like guns or maybe that are afraid of guns. I think I can honestly say I would put myself in that category as a rule. I remember the first time I ever fired a weapon, which was back in the – it was actually – I took an ROTC class. It was an option. It was like an electorate back when I was in University of California. And part of this ROTC class was a little field trip to a shooting range where we got to shoot an M16. And to me, it was a little frightening. I mean, it was only because of the intellectual exercise I did not to contemplate the idea that should anything go wrong and somebody's in front of this thing, it could be death or serious injury. In other words, it's a fearsome and frightening prospect that you hold in your hand this ability to take somebody's life anytime you point the trigger.
Of course, an M16 is a machine gun, sir. That was quite an unusual experience you had there, not just an ordinary rifle.
Yeah, first weapon I ever fired.
Fascinating. Brian, I don't want to neglect you, my friend. You got further thoughts you want to add, Brian? Brian, are you there? Did we lose you? Michael, anything you'd like to
add? Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted. Okay. Hello? Yeah.
Go ahead, Brian.
I when you were talking about the Calegari plan, it reminds me of what I read on Henry Macau about this Arajas battalion, ARAJAS. They were tasked with shadowing a communist group in Estonia, and they discovered them using a young boy for their human sacrifice, and of course they took them down. And what these members of this communist group said to them as they were getting ready to be executed is, "We are going to breed you out of existence." And you can find that article on Macau if you just punch in Arajas. So it's something they've been aware of for a long time. And Calegari was who the industrialists in Germany wanted to lead the National Socialist Party over Hitler, but that got voted down, so they were lucky they got Hitler instead of Calegari. And of course, Warburgs, we know, are the ones that financed the National Socialists in Germany back then. So
That's a very interesting historical detail. Paul, did you know that?
No, that's my reaction as well. On the show I used to listen to on a regular basis, they had a drop already for people because somebody else had said it previously. It's like, that's good knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. Well, we're coming toward the conclusion. I'm happy for final thoughts. Gary, you made a great contribution. Would you have a final thought, Gary?
Well, I'm looking forward to the American people saving themselves. That's the only source of salvation is yourself.
Great. I love it. Michael, would you have a final thought?
Yeah, on the issue of gun ownership, I grew up in Texas, so that was never an issue with anybody I knew. We all owned guns, even though we identified as Democrats, but it was a different kind of Democrat back then.
Yeah, and totally, totally.
And just in general, I think it is the case that there's at least a slow trickle of people who have identified as Democrat all these years, like you went through in the last 20, Jim.
Yeah,
who have realized the difference between then and now and are, if not making the transition to Republican, at least pulling out of the traditional Orthodox Democrat Party.
Yeah, 100%. Great point, Michael. Great point. Brian, final thoughts.
Well, just real quick, I just want to know Michael's prefix if he calls, because I get so many telemarketers that if I don't see my prefix, I don't answer the phone.
Yeah, I have your number, which I presume you're glad for me to share with Michael. Michael's,
oh, yeah. Absolutely. But I want to know his prefix, his area code.
I got it. Michael, you want to give?
It's 850.
850.
Okay, then I know to answer. That's what I needed. Okay. Thank you.
850.
Got it.
John, I'm going to take you before Paul, since he was our featured guest.
Yeah. Rules for thee and not me, if you remember that quote. And I'm thinking of Dianne Feinstein, who carried a gun and also had bodyguards. So don't be fooled by these Democrats. Don't be lied to. They have guns, and they can use them, and they have bodyguards, but they don't want us to have it. Just kind of a thought for the day.
Well, it's fascinating that Gary's suggesting they're coming around, and they realize they need guns, too. Paul, your thoughts. Take your time here, my friend. Glad to have you. This worked out beautifully.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it, Jim. And yeah, brief reaction to the statistics, I guess you could call them, that Gary brought up about the people that are buying guns are Democrat. I didn't know there was a place on the forum for them to provide their political affiliation, but...
Well, great job. Great job, everyone. I thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.